The Son is the exact likeness of God, who can't be seen. The Son is first, and he is over all creation. All things were created in him. He created everything in heaven and on earth. He created everything that can be seen and everything that can't be seen. He created kings, powers, rulers, and authorities. All things have been created by him and for him. Before anything was created, he was already there. He holds everything together, and he is the head of the body, which is the church. He is the beginning. He is the first to be raised from the dead. That happened so that he would be far above everything else. God was pleased to have his whole nature living in Christ. God was pleased to bring all things back to himself. That's because of what Christ has done. These things include everything on earth and in heaven. God made peace through Christ's blood by his death on the cross.
All now?
Hello again. Are we all well? Ish? I'm just going to pray again, so let's just pray for a moment. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it speaks, that it's alive, and that it's powerful. I pray that you would use what I have brought today, what I've prepared, and that by your Spirit you would speak words of encouragement to everyone gathered here today. May we each go away encouraged by the power of the cross. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're looking up at the cross today, and we're literally looking up and we're asking this question: what on earth was going on at the cross? What was Jesus doing there on the cross? And I hope that at the end of these few moments together of reflecting on what is a wonderful passage from Colossians, we will see that, yes, on the cross, our sins have been forgiven. Yes, on the cross, the gift of eternal life has been opened up for us. Yes, on the cross, we are made new. Yes, it's all been done for me, and it's all been done for you as individuals. But the work of Christ on the cross is much bigger than that. It's not just for me, and it's not just for you. Okay? The key word in this passage is the word or the phrase everything. Or the phrase, all things, everything has been reconciled to Christ by the redemption that he brought on the cross through his blood. Everything is reconciled. Everything. And that should really encourage us today as we look around the world. As we see the world in turmoil, with many wars around the world, with famine around the world, with poverty, with relationships breaking apart, everything is reconciled at the cross. Now, some people would say to you, as you're sharing with them, well, surely he died. Surely what happened on the cross, as you look up there, surely it was all a bit futile. It was all a bit of a waste of time. It was pointless because Jesus died. And yes, of course he did. But his death was not pointless. His death was not futile. It was not a waste of time. Rather, it was a beautiful love story, a beautiful story of mission, whereby through Jesus Christ, God reconciles all things to himself through and because of and in spite of his death on the cross. Through one act of pure, perfect, holy, sacrificial love, Jesus was reconciling all things to himself. Think about Nigeria. Think about North Korea. Think about the difficulties in your family life or down the street. Think about what you're suffering at the moment. Think about your worries about where the world is going. Where's the Middle East going? Where's the end point? What's the end game there? What about Ukraine and Russia? What's the end game there? What about America and Mr. Trump? What's the end game there? What about climate change? How often do we hear David Attenborough saying, well, you know, the ice cap, and you'll have seen pictures of the ice cap melting year on year, and it's going to affect our climate. And some people are saying, we are already seeing the effects of climate change. Year on year, it's happening now to us. Colder, longer, wetter winters, much hotter summers. Apparently, somebody said to me recently, apparently this summer it's going to be 40 degrees. Okay? If you're sunbathers, you'll be fine. But think about all those things. But here in the scriptures, and it's not just here in Colossians, in Christ through his death on the cross, all things reconciled. Is that not exciting? Is that not a cause to share the good news of Easter, this Easter? It's not just, it is about us. I'm thankful that God forgave all my sin through his son Jesus Christ on the cross. I'm so thankful that I'm a different person to what I was many, many years ago. That my life has been changed. And I'm sure you are also thankful that your life isn't as it was many years before now. But it isn't just about us. He has reconciled all things to himself. Let's hold that for a minute as we go on a brief diversion to the 1997 film Bean, starring Rowan Atkinson as Mr. Bean. The inept, frustrating, yet lovable Mr. Bean actively tries to repair the famous painting Whistler's Mother. Has anybody seen this? Yes? He sneezes on the painting and subsequently stains it with an ink-soaked handkerchief. In a desperate attempt to clean the stain, he uses lacquer thinner, which removes the ink but also dissolves the face of the figure on the painting. He then sneaks into the gallery at night to try and fix it, using items like chewing gum, raw egg yolks, nail polish, and a hairdryer. He repairs the painting by secretly replacing the original canvas with a high-quality poster of Whistler's mother. His chaotic repaired version manages to fool the gallery experts and saves the reputation of the art curator David Langley. Great film, by the way. Especially that bit. Well, not really great. You know, you can't really say Mr. Bean's great film, but there we are. It wouldn't get an Oscar, anyway. But here in Colossians 1, we have another famous portrait. But this time it's a pen portrait. Unfortunately for us, this has never been destroyed and it has never needed to be repaired or reimagined. Here we have a magnificent, majestic, awe-inspiring, mind-blowing pen portrait of Jesus the Christ, the Son of God. And in Paul's painting, what do we see? We see Jesus, and these are direct words from the script. We see Jesus as the creator of all things. Key word. We see Jesus as the one for whom all things were made. We see Jesus as the one who was before all things. We see him depicted as the head of the church, the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, so that over all things he might have sovereignty and supremacy. We see him as the one through whom, you know what I'm going to say next? All things, whether on earth or heaven, will be reconciled, restored, renewed. How? Through the shedding of his blood on the cross. Do we hear that loud, joyful, inspiring refrain? All things. All things. He created all things. He co-created with the Father and the Spirit all things. And through the cross, he reconciles all things to himself. If you don't like the word reconcile, that's fine. He brings all things back together again to himself. He restores communion with all things to himself. He reconnects all things to himself. Now, some of you might be sitting there going, well, hang on, does that mean that everybody, some of you might be thinking this, does that mean everybody's going to be saved? Is this universalism? No. No. We still have to decide what our attitude is going to be about this Jesus. We have to decide, who is Jesus? Do we believe this about Jesus? We still have to decide. The Gospels tell us that. Those who believe in me will have life. But he reconciles all things. As one writer puts it, through his death on the cross, Jesus was restoring the harmony of the original creation, resolving the disharmonies of nature and the inhumanities of humankind. Let me just repeat that. He was restoring the harmony of the original creation. Go back to Genesis 1 and 2. And he was resolving the disharmonies of nature and the inhumanities of humankind. Let's just go back to the flood for a minute. Because if we go back to the flood, we see there that God promises that he will never flood the world again. And these are the words that are used. Whenever I see the rainbow, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth. I will remember the everlasting covenant. This means the whole of creation is and has always been so precious to God. And because of that, all of life will survive. All of life will survive the ravages and rampages and destructions of human sin. Life will survive it because God says so. And he ultimately says it through his son's death on the cross. He died on the cross to rescue the whole of creation. Not everybody, not just everybody, but everything. So when we celebrate Easter in 2 weeks' time. Yes, let's come with thanksgiving that we have been saved. We have been forgiven. We have been reconciled. We have the gift of eternal life because Christ died and he rose again. Yes, let us celebrate that. But let us come with a deeper understanding, with a wider lens and a more expansive vision of what God was up to Good Friday through to Easter Day. That this cross is good news for everyone and everything. For me and you, but the whole world and the whole of Portsmouth. Every nook and cranny, every shop, every business, every ship, every school. What was Jesus doing on the cross? He was reconciling, he was restoring all things to himself. But before we close, have I got time? Is that okay? We need to ask another question. Why should we take seriously what Paul is saying about Paul? What Paul is saying about Jesus, I beg your pardon. How could one person possibly rescue the whole of creation? Pretty huge task, isn't it? How can this person do all that work? That massive task? Is he qualified to do it? Can we trust him to do it? And the answer is a very loud, absolutely yes. He is absolutely qualified and uniquely qualified. And I'll tell you why. There are many reasons why, but I've just chosen this. Paul tells us why in his portrait. He gives Jesus two titles right at the beginning in verse 15. Two titles to Jesus. Title number one, Jesus is the image of the invisible God. He is the image of the invisible God. Title number two, he is the firstborn over all creation. Right, he is the image. Now, there are two Greek words for image. Now, you've got to listen carefully to this, okay? Right. Paul could have used the Greek word homoi homa, okay? Which literally means this. It means similar to or of similar appearance to something else or someone else. So, you know, like one twin is very similar to another, but look very closely and they're not exactly identical. Or, you know, I look a little bit similar to my elder brother Greg, but we're not exactly the same, we're just similar. Okay, so that would have meant, if Paul had used that Greek word, that what he was saying was Jesus was similar to God. Not the same, but he was similar. He was a little bit like him. Paul doesn't use that word. He uses the much easier to pronounce word, akon, or icon. Icon. Icon? You know that word, right? In the Greek, it literally means like the reflection in a mirror, or the image on a coin, or the image on a stamp. So if you want to know what Charles looks like and you haven't got a picture of him in your photo album, what do? You find a stamp and you can see his face. That's Charles. Paul is saying that Jesus is God. Just as the Father is God, so Jesus is God because he is the exact image of God. So when you see God, You see Jesus when you see Jesus. You see. Because Jesus does the same as God. Jesus speaks the same as God. Jesus moves like God does. Jesus is passionate about what God, the Father, is passionate about. Jesus loves like his Father loves, because they're the same but different. And we're not getting to the Trinity, but, you know. God is invisible. Can you see God? Anybody see God? Anybody seen God? No? But through Jesus, the invisible has become visible. This is the claim of Scripture. The unknowable has become known. Or as one commentator said, Jesus is the very stamp of God. Or in the words of Hebrews 1, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. Or in the words of John's Gospel, chapter 14, words of Jesus, anyone who has seen me has seen the. And a word of warning. Many people in Jesus' day, particularly the religious elite, would not believe this. They would not believe it. They should have known better, but they wouldn't believe it. The clever ones of Jesus' day would not believe this. The more educated ones, on the whole, would not believe this. Who believed this? The needy people believed it. The physically blind, the physically suffering people, they believed it. But the proud didn't. Is this really true? Is this true? Well, if Easter Day's true, and I believe it is, then this is true. Because the resurrection vindicates everything that Jesus did, everything that Jesus said. Jesus is the exact representation, he's the image of God. That's why we should believe that he reconciles all things to himself. But the second title Paul gives is this: he's the firstborn of all creation. Now, okay, so what does that mean? Well, first of all, don't think in terms of first child born into a family. So don't think like, you know, Clara down there, Clara, right? No, don't think that like that. No? Okay. Are you getting this? Are you still with me? Or do you need the church meeting? Don't think of that which was not and then was through some miraculous physical or scientific means. Okay? No. Think like this. Think like the Jews. Okay? I know there's one or two of you who are really interested in the Jews. That's great. Think right now like Jews. Because Jews would have thought this. The firstborn was another title for, guess what? The Messiah. God's deliverer was going to come down. That's what firstborn meant to the Jews. Another meaning it gave to the Jews was to the ancient rabbis, it meant, this is exciting, Yahweh or God himself was firstborn of the world. But hang on a minute, God was never born, was he? No, but he's the firstborn. And Jesus is given that same title. In other words, Jesus was before all things, and that through him and the Father and the Spirit, he created all things, and that through the cross, he reconciles all things to himself, including you and me. Quickly, takeaways. How can we respond to this? Number one, praise. Number one, praise. See, this is what Paul was doing in this passage. He was using an old church hymn to express praise to his God. Those verses 15 to 20 were probably a hymn that the early church used. And he just comes out with praise and praises Jesus, that he is the image of God. He is the firstborn over all creation, that through him he has reconciled all things. He lifts his eyes and gives praise. And you know, I think, and I say this to myself, you know, we're living in difficult days, are we not? Really troubling days. But Jesus has reconciled all things, and he is reconciling all things. Okay? And so we can lift our eyes up and give him praise. Because Jesus has got it. He's got the world in his hands. He's got it. Number two, peace. Receive the peace of the exalted Christ today. Receive it from him for you. Receive his peace. He's got your life in his care. He's the risen Christ. He's reconciled everything to himself, including your situation, you yourself, your illness, your troubles. He's got you. So be at peace. And as I'm sure you're doing, keep praying for peace in our very troubled world. And also this, be people of peace wherever you go. Wherever you go, be people of peace. Imitate Jesus. He came to reconcile. Be people who reconcile where you can. And then number two, participate. If the cross wasn't just about us, but it was about all things, then where we can, let us go out from this place and do God's reconciliation work wherever we can and in whatever ways we can that are available to us. Whoever you meet, share God's love with them. Listen to them. Care for them. Think the best of them. And to this very, very serious question, why doesn't God just come down? I'm sure you've thought of this. Why doesn't God just come down and obliterate all the evil in the world? Is it just me who thinks that? Put your hands up if you thought that. Yeah, probably all of you, you know, to be honest. Well, I'll tell you why. Well, because God's way is and has always been the way of love. The way of love. Because God's love wants everyone, and I mean everyone, as possible, to come to know him for themselves. That's why he's holding off the evil day. That's why he's holding off the final judgment. That's why he's being patient, because he wants everyone to know his love. What was Jesus doing on the cross? One word, cosmic. It was a cosmic work. The creator of the cosmos came to save the cosmos. And he was and is the only one qualified to do so. Praise him, know his peace, and participate in his reconciling work. Amen.